Peter chapter 5. Well, maybe it's chapter 2. I might have it all confused. You can go back to sleep, Brian. All right, we having fun. We having fun yet? Praise the Lord. First Peter 5:8. I did have it right. First mistake I ever made, and that was a mistake. I was right when I thought I was wrong. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for its instruction, its warnings, its blessings, its promises. And God, we pray that as we open your word today, you'd give us understanding and help each one of us to be stronger for the battle tomorrow. And Lord, make us winners. Help us to be conquerors through Jesus Christ all the way. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give, and we'll give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we've been through the mission conference, and so we're going to go back over a little bit of what we started to teach this month. You got an adversary. We don't think about that unless we have a physical adversary out here. But sometimes that person that's criticizing you, that person that's getting your goat, that person that just irritates the daylights out of you, may be somebody moved by the devil. It could be a Christian, could be your wife, could be your husband, could be one of your kids, could be your parent. But what all the devil has to do is to get them a little upset. And then you're kicked out of balance. You run out of the races. I know people that leave churches because somebody, not necessarily even the pastors, because we're probably mostly to blame, but somebody else in the church ignored them, didn't say something to them on a given day, got upset, got a little snippy, and they were having a bad day, and man, that's all it, I'm through, you know. Well, that's all the devil's got to do to get some of us. And he uses people. You know the thing about a church? It's full of people. That's his biggest problem. Hey, that's one of his great blessings. I would not want to be on a mountainside and never see anybody. You know the old mountain men that used to go out and trap and whatever, and didn't want a partner, didn't want a wife, didn't want anything, just wanted to climb the hills and kill the coon, you know. Man, what a sad life. And to me, that would be, I like people. I like people. But can you ask me what's caused me the greatest pain, caused me the most loss of sleep, caused me the most worry, made me the maddest? It's people. It's people. And when you're in a church, it's going to have people. So, you better well just expect it. You're going to have some troubles. Now, you do have an adversary. He does not want you to succeed. He doesn't want you to be a faithful Christian. He does not want you to be a praying Christian. He does not want you to be a giving Christian. There's a whole lot of things he does not want. And so he's an adversary. He's going to try to slip it to you. Well, we have weaknesses. And you know, in a battle, it's real important if you know your enemy's weaknesses. If you know he's got all his troops at one place and not enough over at another place, then you move your troops over. You hit his weakness. You don't try to hit him in his strong points. Well, the devil's smart enough to know that. He's been doing it for at least 6,000 years. He's been an enemy of God and an enemy of God's people. And he knows your weaknesses. Anybody here without a weakness? Nobody. Some of us have quite a few. We got not just one weakness, we got several weaknesses. So you need to really watch your weaknesses because you have an adversary. You have somebody that wants to drop you. You got somebody that wants to wreck your marriage or wreck your family or wreck your life. He's interested in that because he hates God. Because God gets the glory, deserves the glory, and the devil wants it. A lot of times, he uses religion. I personally believe that the Muslim Islam is of the devil.
Amen.
Not of God, it's of the devil.
Amen.
I believe Jehovah's Witness and Mormons and some of the other cults that are out there, they're of the devil.
Amen.
So somebody changes from a Catholic to go to a Jehovah's Witness, they haven't improved themselves at all. If they decide, well, I'm going to go from being a Christian back to this, there's no improvement there. Because both of them are in the hands of the devil, and the people that are in there are worshiping the devil. You say, why do some of these kooky religions gain so many people? Because the devil likes them. Have you ever thought about, I mean, you're worshiping the devil there. Have you ever thought about these great stars? To me, especially the singers. Some of the things they sing, I don't even know. I don't know how anybody understands unless they get a copy and read it.
Yeah.
You can't understand it. And when you do understand it, you're grossed out because they're idiots. They're idiots. And most of them, I got a better voice than most of them, and I can't sing at all. What draws them? What draws them? Shut up, Johnny. You're getting close to the oldest one around in here, boy. I can pick on you now. I believe the devil does. He draws these young people and others that are in it, and he draws them to this thing. And they go into all kinds of sin. Now, you want to know a way to let your adversary have a good time with you? Just get in any sin. We all have sins. We all have weaknesses. You play with these things, get yourself in real trouble. Now, I had a friend. He said he had a headache one day. He was out playing golf. And the guy says, I know I'll take care of that. Gave him a little pill. He got hooked on her, and he went through 5, 6 expensive rehabs. He'd come out clean. I'm going to win. He never won. He always went back. He finally blew his brains out because he was so much of a problem to his family. You be careful what you take when you're weak. You be careful what you decide to play around with.
Amen.
You be careful that just because you're feeling bad, just because you're weak, just because you're tempted, you don't give in to it and get yourself in all kinds of trouble. That's what the devil's going to use. Now in 2 Corinthians 2:11 it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Don't give the devil an advantage. It's like taking Goliath and adding him a couple of hammers. You know, getting him 2 or 3 men to keep him away from his back. No, Goliath's big enough on his own. You don't need to give him any help. Don't lay down and open up a door for him to come in. Just come through my front door. Come right on in. Sit down in my living room with me. Don't give him an advantage. And you give him an advantage every time you deny the Word of God and every time you get into sin. You have given the devil an advantage in your life, in your ministry, in your house, in your own heart. God hates sin. You and I love it. We say, that's me. I like it. I like doing these things. And what can it hurt? Look at all the people that do them. Just because all the people do them doesn't mean you get away with it. Just because your neighbor got away with it for years doesn't mean you will. Are you a child of God? Then I tell you what, he's a good father, and he sometimes spanks. And you know, I don't like getting spankings from him. But I'm thankful for the spankings because they keep you out of the hands of the devil. He says he's an adversary. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. He can destroy your happiness. He can destroy your physical life. He can make you so miserable. He can ruin your family. He can ruin your church. He can take away all your happiness. I had a good friend in college. Good preacher. Solid man. Doctrinally solid. Morally upright. Good man in the pulpit. Really had good friendship with him. In fact, one time he was the preacher at the First Baptist Church in Burney. It wasn't near as big then as it is now, but he was the pastor there. And one day I went by, and he invited me to preach, and I went by and visited him, Vernon and I did. He and his wife were having all sorts of troubles, and they were at each other's throat, and they couldn't get it out, they couldn't work it out. They couldn't seem to get it over. Before I knew it, he had resigned the church, quit preaching. When I came back from Guatemala, I said, you know, I wonder what he's doing. And I called him up. I said, hey, I'm going to start a church in San Antonio. You want to help me? He said, Lindo, I'm on my third beer, and I've been fighting with my 18-year-old stepson, and I'm about half drunk. That was a fine preacher. You know what he did? He had an adversary. He had somebody who didn't like the way he preached. He had somebody who thought, I can get this guy. And he let the door go open. I don't know where he let the door open. I'm not sure. But when I saw him 10 years later, something like that, didn't see him, actually talked to him on the phone. He was drinking. He was about half drunk. He was cussing. And he's married to a woman that had other children. And he's having a problem with her. She's supporting her 18-year-old, and he not wanting to support him. Wants him to get out and get to work. Man, his life is destroyed. That was a good preacher. I know him. That man was saved. If I can understand anything about how people get saved, he sure looked like it to me. You don't want to give the devil any advantage. You do not want to let him destroy you, devour you. That's what a lion does. Would you be afraid of a lion in this room? I would be. I would be. I sold my last cow Tuesday. And we were trying to get her, and she has horns sticking straight forward the way she had them. And she's full grown. And we were got another man in there with me. We were trying to get her into the trailer, and she's wild. She comes right straight at me. I can still see her face. I'm inside that thing. I'm 74 years old. I don't move very fast. But I did have an aluminum mace baseball bat. And I went, bonk! And her horn missed me by that much right here. And I said to her, why didn't I move? I really don't know. I don't know if it's bravery or stupidity. I'm not real sure. But she was coming after me. I mean, she decided to be in on me. She'd already knocked one of the gates off when she'd hit it. It was something else. And I keep thanking the Lord. Lord, thank you. I missed a bullet. Boy, I cheated the Widowmaker. Wow. That's the way you ought to think about the devil. You quit thinking about him as being a nice guy dressed in a nice suit, and he's got a sweet personality, and he's got a way to get by and a way to go around things. You better think of him like that big cow coming at you, 800 to 1,000 pounds or 1,200 pounds, whatever it might be, and it will hurt you. Well, that's what a lion will do. A lion will run so fast you can't outrun it. A lion will come at you and he'll grab you by the neck and break your neck, and then he'll just have fun eating you. He'll devour you. That's what the devil is going to do if you let him. The devil's real. Don't have any false hopes that that's just some myth that religion created. The devil is real. And he has an interest. If you're serving God, he wants to stop you. Years ago, a lot of years ago, 25 or 30 years ago, the devil really got to one of our people, somebody I loved, and messed their life up a little. And I was so mad at the devil, I was just so furious, that if I could have killed him, I'd have killed him. If a 357 Magnum would have done it, I promise you, I'd have killed him. But that wouldn't do it. And then I began to think, how can I hurt him? Thought about it for a lot of days. How can I hurt the devil? He's hurt me. He's hurt someone else. How do I fight him? And a thought came to me, and I haven't changed it yet. When the devil comes after me, I start praising God. He does not like praise. He wants the praise of God. And if you got trouble in your family, turn around and say, God, you're altogether lovely. God, you have never let me down. God, you're the great promiser. God, you can answer prayer. You've answered it for me before. And God, whatever happens in this, bring something good out of it. But I'm going to praise you no matter what happens. Devil don't like your praise. He doesn't like your praise. When you get down, you start asking God and you praise. Now, one of the biggest things that Christians get into is unforgiveness. I'm here because I'm forgiven. God changed my life by forgiving me. That forgiveness was the greatest thing. Wow. I'm forgiven. How can I then, if I've been forgiven for lust and murder in my heart and all sorts of wickedness, and God just freely forgave me, how can I hold it against you that you don't like me? How in the world can I hold it against you because you haven't treated me right? How in the world can I bring up 15 years later something my wife did 15 years ago when we're in a fuss? Well, I remember when you... Well, have you forgiven it? Try forgetting it. Forgiveness. I know families that are divided because somebody won't forgive. I don't care if you're the one been wronged. I don't care if it's personal against you. Maybe you're the only one. Hey, try forgiving. Unforgiveness is a door the devil walks through. He causes all sorts of damage to churches, to homes, to families, to countries. We need to be forgiving, and especially since we're the forgiven. I am the forgiven. Everything I've ever done, everything I ever will do, will be forgiven. Isn't that something? Man, I have already been indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. I have a new heart. I'm going to heaven forever. Praise the Lord. Don't hold unforgiveness. Forgive everybody, even if they don't ask for it. Now, I used to say, well, now, rightly by the Bible, they've got to come ask me to forgive them. Well, in a sense, that's true. But if they don't do it and you still have the unforgiveness in your heart, it's hurting you. It's not hurting them. I'm not going to forgive that person over there because they did this to me. I'm just never going to forgive them for that. It's not hurting them. They don't care. They're not losing any sleep over you not forgiving them. You're losing sleep because you have unforgiveness in your heart and you know it's wrong. Don't let the thing of forgiveness get you. There's another thing that hits most of us, and that's lust. Lust for sex. It's natural. It's normal. God put it in you. God meant for you to use it. But it can be turned into something very wrong. God has certain rules on how you ought to do it, and he did them for the good of mankind, for the glory of God, for your good. And the idea of some of these women today don't even want to get married. Oh, I don't need a little piece of paper or whatever. Well, marriage is to protect the wives and the children. Very definitely. Men, they're sorry old rascals. They just use women and run off and leave them. Take no responsibility. Marriage puts a bind together, a legal bind together that protects women and their children. Don't be so stupid as to ignore that. Lust for sex. How about lust for money? Boy, we got lust for sex in this country, don't we? My, do we have lust for money? I heard of a church. In fact, I was playing golf with a guy. I went out and played golf on my own one day on a Monday. And this other guy came out and he was a preacher. And he had heard me on the same golf course say, praise the Lord, a few times or something. So he come up and asked me if I wasn't a preacher. And he was a young preacher, and he was getting himself in trouble, and the church was picking on him, trying to run him off and whatever. Anyway, I gave him a little bit of advice. I don't know whether he used it. Never saw him again in my life. But he told me something. He said the way that church disciplined for covetousness was, if your tithe didn't come in for 3 months in a row, they just left you off the name off the church. I haven't figured out a good way to discipline for covetousness. We're all so covetous. Look at your house. Look at your garage. All the junk you got in your garage that you're not using and you don't plan on using and you paid for, and all the things you bought this last month you really didn't need, we're covetous. From the oldest to the youngest. And we need to learn that's a sin, and that's a door that opens up that the devil can use. Spend all your money on yourself. You're in the richest country that ever has been. You're the richest people that have ever walked the face of the earth. Solomon would love to have what you have. I guarantee you he'd have traded some mighty beautiful stallions and chariots for your old Pinto. Amen? Or me? How about power? Some of us want power in the home. Some of us want power in the church. Some of us want power at work. Some people are so greedy, they want the power in the government. All these things are doors. How about recognition? I want somebody to brag on me for what was done. I did that work. I am the one that preached that sermon. I am the one that built that. I am the one that was bold and stood. There are the lusts of a lot of things. There's nothing else that we talked about was bitterness. Bitterness. Root of bitterness springing up in you, trouble you. You got something you're bitter about? You got someone you're bitter about? Well, bless your heart. Bitterness can trouble your soul. Bitterness can destroy your mind, your pleasure, your joy. It's another open door for the devil. Unbelief, an evil heart of unbelief. Excuse me, I just can't get my throat clear to breathe. But unbelief. You know your safety is that book right there. You know what I believe? I believe that's the Word of God. In English. I'm not saying you got to take it over and got to teach the Chinese English and no, I'm saying that's the Word of God in English. I made up my mind a long, long time ago that I was going to go to the judgment seat of Christ with what that said. I didn't have to improve it. I didn't have to change it. Didn't have to explain it. And you know what that book is right there? That's a promise book. I heard some of these young people have promise books. They write things in and pass them around in school and whatever. Maybe they don't do that anymore. I don't know. They did when I was teaching. Promise book. That's a promise book. That's a promise book. Try reading this book and look for a promise you can claim. It's amazing. All through it, there are some things that can apply to you. Somebody's in there praying about something. Claim the promises of God and don't allow the devil to steal them from you. The Bible says resist him. Thank you, brother. Resisting steadfast in the faith. How do we whip the devil? Faith. How do we get the victory? Faith. And you being steadfast, not wavering in your faith, not believing one day and doubting the next day and so on and so forth, or you're tired of the battle being so long, it might be months, it might be years. Yeah, some of the battles are that way. And some of them you may never win in this life. But you resist the devil, steadfast in the faith, what'll unbelief do for you? It'll take away your promises. It'll take away your joy. Any sin is an open door for Satan. Now look at Deuteronomy 32, 28. Deuteronomy 32, 28. Excuse me. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? This is such a blessing to me. Over the years, I say, what an opportunity. What a promise. So the devil's after you. What kind of response can you give him? What could you do? Well, here he says, if they were wise, if they understood, how should one chase 1,000? That right there. You say, I can't do it. I can't withstand. I can't win. Well, you get God on your side, one will chase 1,000. He'll make you so fearful, so fearsome, so scary to anybody around you. You think God can't do that? Well, look at the Bible. Look at that guy taking a sword and stopping in a bean field. And I think he slew 1,000. And when he came out, he couldn't get the sword out of his hand. That is a miracle. One man does not win against 1,000. He said, two of you together, put 10,000 to flight. Well, that's just almost beyond our imagination, isn't it? When I read it, I say, I don't know. Man, I've never seen that. That doesn't mean it isn't true. That doesn't mean the possibility is not there. God Almighty is looking for a man to stand in the gap for him. That'll stand for the truth. That'll preach the word of God. That'll be faithful to Jesus. That will praise God. That's what he's looking for. Why don't we have it? Except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up. Sin. The prophet was called by heathen king to curse Israel. And every time he got ready to curse, he blessed. Guy paid him some more money, took him to another hill, paid him to curse him. He blessed him. And he said, I can't curse them, they're blessed. Now, it doesn't tell you in that story there, but in the New Testament it lets us know. That prophet told that king, send your women down. Get them in sin, and God will curse them for you. That's what he did. You get in sin, you're in trouble with God. And if God doesn't back your play, what are you going to do? If God is not on your side, if you have displeased God so much, you've doubted God so much, do you have any hope? I don't have any hope in my strength. I don't have any hope in my willpower. I don't have any hope in my wisdom. Because some days I'm sure pretty stupid. Are you too? You ever tell yourself, that was dumb, dumb, dumb. I wish I'd quit telling myself that. I just have to keep on doing it. One day I was, 30, 35, and I'd done something stupid. And I was embarrassed and felt bad about it. And I was all down, and I went to visit my dad. I don't remember how old he was, but he was probably 60-something. And I said, Dad, I sure be glad I get as old as you. He said, what in the world? Why in the world would you want to be as old as me? I said, I quit making some of these dumb mistakes that I make. He said, I'm 60-something years old. I'm still making them. I'm 74 and I'm still making them. You find out human beings are dumb. They think they're smart. They go around bragging how smart they are. They tell everybody else how smart they are. You don't want to listen to that guy because you know more than he knows. Oh, but I tell you, we're sure pretty stupid when it comes to making some decisions. Bad, bad, bad choices. I've seen a few kids dating somebody and I'm thinking, man, bad choice, bad choice. One chased a thousand except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up. Go to Psalm 51. What gives us an advantage? We're fighting the devil. We got an adversary. He's got the experience of fighting with God for 6,000 years at least. He has been an adversary of God's people and God for 6,000 years at least. How can you win? Well, you can't win by pride. You can't win by pride. You can't win by fleshly power. Nobody is strong enough to withstand him. Nobody. You can't win by willpower. I used to think when I was younger I had a lot of willpower. Well, whatever I had left me. But you can't win by willpower. Let me tell you how you handle sin. You confess it and repent of it. I'm never going to do that again. Yeah, you'll do it again, maybe tomorrow. If it's your besetting sin. How do you have any chance? I know it sounds like it's too simple. But I've gotten more victory and I've seen more victory over sin by confessing and asking for forgiveness. I did it again, Lord. I don't know what's the matter with me. How can I be this stupid? How can I do this day after day? This is my besetting sin. It's just tripping me up all the time. I did it again, Lord. Instead of ignoring it, even instead of fighting it, confess it. Confess it to God. You don't have to confess it to all the people. We don't want to hear all your sins. Your pastors don't even hear all your sins. I got way too many people's sins in my head. I got enough problems for my own, but without having all of yours to boot. But confess it to God. He can handle it. And don't in your pride say, well, I'm tired of going back to God. I've known people to do that. Well, I've gone back 30 times. Well, go 300 if you have to. If 300 doesn't work, go 3,000. The way you handle sin is confess it and try to forsake it. But you confess it to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. God is in the forgiveness business. The number one business God is in with people all over the world is forgiveness. And the thing he requires is confession. What did the thief on the old cross say? Well, we're here because of our own fault. We're guilty. We're supposed to be hung. We're supposed to be up here being crucified. David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. He wrote some of the most beautiful passages ever written in any language, in those Psalms. He was a poet. He was an inventor of musical instruments. He was a personal fighter with extreme bravery and confidence in himself. And he was a master general. He was a great king. How do you get a guy like that? He's got 40 wives. He's not in need of any sexual entertainment. But the devil got him with a Bathsheba. Another man's wife, one of his faithful soldiers' wives. He committed adultery. And then he committed murder. And then he tried to hide it and cover it up. You know something? You can't hide anything from God. You can hide it from the preacher. You can hide it from your husband or wife, maybe. You can hide it from your brothers and sisters. You can hide it from people at work. And you might actually get away with it. You might not, but you can't hide it from God. There is no place you go. There is nothing that you can possibly do to shield yourself from God. He knows every thought before you think it. He knows every action before you do it. And certainly after you've done it, he certainly knows. You can't hide from God. All right, confess it. He already knows it. He's not in the dark. You're not telling him something he didn't know. He knows it. What are you saying by confessing it? I was wrong. I was wrong, Lord. Forgive me. Lord, I won't do that anymore. Forgive me. I don't know how many times I've given that advice to people. I've used it on my own self, but I've given it to other people too, and they think it's too simplistic. That's not the best answer. Oh, I want to beg to differ with you. I think it is the best answer. I think it's the best answer for me. Has been. I've proved that to my own satisfaction. Let me tell you to try it and just keep doing it. When you have opened your stupid mouth and let everyone know you're a fool, instead of trying to dig yourself out or try to hide it or deny it, how about just saying, Lord, I blew it again. Lord, there I am again. You gave me my teeth and you gave me my lips as gates to my tongue. And I opened those gates and said something stupid again. Or lust. You might be in a real good mood driving down the road. All of a sudden, here's a sign of a naked woman up there selling cars or toothpaste or nail polish. Who knows what? You use naked women for everything. And you look at that and say, wow. And then you have to say, Lord, what is the matter with me? Well, you're just a lustful creature. God made you that way. Now you need to learn how to handle it. What do? I confess it. I confess it. I said, there I am, Lord, again. There's my lust coming out. Forgive me. You know what I do? I get forgiven a whole lot. I didn't just get forgiven 54 years ago next month, September 1st. Wow. I didn't just get forgiven everything back then. In a practical way, every day of my life I'm getting forgiven. I'm using that blood. I'm using that forgiveness, that power. Every day, you got an adversary. He can trip. If he could get David, he can get you. You read the Bible. Look how many people he dropped. Mighty men. Fine women. They've been dropped. Confess your sin and forsake it. Look at Psalm 51, verse 2. Look at David. After he'd committed his sin with Bathsheba, probably after he'd killed Uriah, done his hiding, Nathan had come to him and pointed out he couldn't hide it from God. His own personal preacher come up and said, you're the man. And he said, you've caused shame to the name of God among all the enemies. That is a shame, isn't it? That your actions would bring shame to the name of Jesus Christ or to the church of God. He says in verse 2, wash me. Look at verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Hey, that's a pretty good prayer for you to pray. Devil gets on your case. You've given him some opportunity because you got careless or lax or lustful or tempted in some way, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Look at verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. I'm the sinner, Lord. Not he, she. Come down there and talks to Adam. He said, well, the woman you gave me. He's blaming God. Blames the woman first and blaming God for giving him the woman. That's not the way to handle sin. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord. That's a good little old song, chorus or whatever it is. We're the one in the need of prayer. Might be praying for a lot of other people, but boy, we ought to be praying for ourselves. And here he comes praying to God. David is praying to God in this poetry. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Confession. Acknowledgement. Pleading for cleansing. Forgiveness. Look at verse 14 of Psalm 51. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. Ah, he knew Uriah's blood was on his soul. He'd killed a good man to get his wife to cover his sin. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. He's asking for deliverance from blood guiltiness. You think you can get that? Yes, you can. I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard on the news yesterday they actually had an interviewer interview the son of Sam, been in jail for 35 years for killing all those women up in New York. He said he'd repented of his sins and gotten saved, and he belonged to Jesus Christ. And he sent letters of asking people to forgive him for what he'd done. You think that can happen? Oh, I know it can happen. What a trophy, if it's true. And I hope it's true. For his sake, I hope it's true. There are a lot of people get saved. There are going to be a lot of jailbirds and murderers in heaven and a lot of judges and congressmen in hell. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. You can get delivered even from blood guiltiness. My tongue shall sing aloud thy righteousness. Confession and praise. Confession, asking for forgiveness and praise to God. You want to have a formula for fighting the devil and trying to withstand this one that wants to devour your life, your soul, your family, your happiness? Confess your sin, ask for forgiveness, and praise God.
Amen.
Look what he says in verse 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. God, help me to speak. God, help me to speak in such a way I'll touch people. Help me to speak in such a way I'll glorify your name. Help me to speak in such a way that you're not ashamed of me. Open thou my lips. Look at verse 17. He's giving some advice right here. Real good advice. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. David understood that all those bullocks, rams and lambs, all those turtle doves, all of that blood was not all that God wanted. God had wanted us to come to the place that we had a broken spirit. Somebody broke us. Somebody broken up over their sin. They're broken up over their embarrassment. They're broken up over their shame. They're broken up over the cause that they've done, damage that they've done to others or to the church. He said, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You want to get in the right place with God? Well, maybe you need to take a look inside yourself and get disgusted Look inside yourself and admit your sin. Don't justify it. Don't try to explain it. Get inside, you confess it, and you recognize it as sin. You tell God, that's wrong, I know it's wrong. You're right, I'm wrong. Said he, God will not despise. I'm going to close on 1 John 4, verse 4. If you've never marked this in your Bible, it wouldn't hurt to put a little ink or a little pencil beside it. Dog-ear your page if you have to. You might need to come back to this several times. There is a victory. There is a victory. Now, in spite of the strength of the devil, and in spite of all your weaknesses, there is a victory. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The world's full of the devil. The world is worshiping the devil every day, big time. They're not ashamed of worshiping the devil. They're proud of their homosexuality, or they're proud of their fornication. They're proud of their wickedness and their sin and their covetousness. They're proud of it. They're bragging on it all the time. They're trying to get you in with them. And that's the devil's group. They don't know it. They don't even know who they're worshiping. Many times, a few do. I'll tell you what happened to me. 1 month less than 54 years ago, I got indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You know what that was? God the Father and God the Son came to dwell right in here. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. I love it. I believe it. I trust it. You know who I've got in here? I don't have a God far off. I know heaven is out there beyond the North Star, the one fixed direction on earth. I got two or three verses to help you out on that too. Heaven is beyond the North Star. It's out north. But I don't have to worry about trillions of light years or whatever to heaven. I have God right here. He did something special for us after Pentecost. In the Old Testament, you see the Spirit of God coming on a man and leaving him. Coming on and leaving him. Coming on in great power. And in the New Testament, in the church, after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is Christ. And he sent his Spirit into our hearts. And we have that Spirit saying, Father. We know God is a Father. We're filled with the Spirit of God. I don't have to go anywhere else. I have God within me. You do too. The sweetest little old girl that gets saved at 8 or 10 and is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God has the power of God within her. And that old man that's been a wicked old sinner that repents at 76 and calls on the Lord and gets saved, goes around testifying at least till he was 81. He had the Holy Spirit with him. He had God. God is not far away. He is not distant. He is not cold and unfeeling. He's in you. Believe it. You are a winner. You are an overcomer. Because of who is in you. You want to fight the devil? Do it with the God that's in you. Confess. Don't hide. Don't justify. Don't excuse. Confess. You're wrong and you know it. Don't worry about the psychologists think you ought to have a positive thing on everything. No. Confess you're a sinner. Ask God to forgive you, accept his forgiveness, and trust the one that is in you to win the battle. Well, I think I'm through.